chapter 16, beginning with verse 28. We'll read through the end of the chapter, the last verse of that chapter being the text verse for today's message. John 16, verses 28 through 33. We'll read the verses responsively. May we all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And let's pray.
Be one thing. If I could ask for one thing as a reward. That's not a good way to put it. The reward sounds like I'm deserving. But the one thing that I would rather you give me than anything in the world is your attention while I preach. That's the best thing you could ever give to me, is just your attention while I preach. I want to speak this morning on the subject, joy's need of sorrow. Joy's need of sorrow. I'm going to, while I go over the coast and read, In this world ye shall have tribulation. And the next line says, Be of good cheer. That's interesting. Be of good cheer. The Apostle Paul said, Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Did you hear that? The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He never called the joy that was set before him the triumphal entry, when they strode the branches of palm and cried, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He did not talk about that being his joy. He did not talk about the joy being when Thomas said, My Lord and my God, the joy that was set before him. What was that joy? The enduring of the cross. I want you to listen carefully this morning. It'll take your mind and logic to follow what I'm going to say. But I believe I can give you something this morning from the Word of God that will enrich your life and strengthen your soul. There's a strange theme that runs throughout the Bible. It almost seems impossible to be true. The Apostle Paul said, I rejoice in persecution. I rejoice in tribulation and trial. Jesus said that the cross was the joy that was set before him. In the upper room, he's about to go out into the dark shadows of Gethsemane. He's about to be delivered by the traitor's kiss. He's about to go to the hall of Pilate. He can almost now feel the beating of his back and the nails in his hands just around the corner. And yet the Bible says in the upper room, it says when they had sang a hymn, he went out on the Mount of Olives. They sang. At midnight, in jail, the Apostle Paul and Silas sang praises to God. You know, I think the miracle of my life is that I spend my life with the suffering people, and yet I see so much humor in life. I see a bit of it here on the front row this morning. In fact, a lot of it. But it's a miracle. It really is. May I be a little bit personal? I'll be in a meeting somewhere across the country, and I'll be talking to some preacher or maybe preaching a sermon. And I'll be having fun and laughing, as I do all the time, every day. Then all of a sudden, I'll think of Mama. Fighting to live. And a tinge of guilt will grip me. And I'll say, this is not right. I shouldn't be laughing. My mama's trying to get another breath. I shouldn't be laughing. And yet, in 5 minutes, I'm laughing again. There's no place in the world, no way in the world you get that outside of this. No way. No way. Nobody else, no place else in the world says rejoice in tribulation. No place else in the world says rejoice in persecution. No place else in the world can laugh through heartache. It's an amazing thing about the gospel. Now I want you to listen carefully. I want to tell you why the child of God can rejoice in persecution. I want to share with you today the truth and the philosophy and the logic and reasoning behind the fact. Why, you've heard me talk about our people dying. One of our men was dying. He died in a few minutes with his head right there in my arms. And he said, as he was dying, he said, I dreamed about you last night, Pastor. And I said, what'd you dream? He said, you're on an airplane. It was going down, about to crash. And you said, quick, let's take an offering. And in a few minutes, he was gone. Oh, the little member of our church who was coughing up blood within 5 minutes of her death. And I said, is that blood you're coughing up? She said, it don't look like tobacco juice, and died in a few minutes. People are going to understand that. I mean, why is it true? Why is it possible? Follow me carefully. I want to give you five main statements this morning, and I'll not dwell long on each. Statement number one. Man, and this may sound a strange place to start, but you follow me. Man is born farther from his maturity than any creature on the face of the earth. You know when a fly is born, it's the same size it is when I swat it? That's because I get him as soon as he's born. But you know, a fly is born a patriarch. It's mature. It's complete fly when it's hatched. Now, the lower you go in creation, the nearer to perfection it is at the start. Conversely so, the higher you go in creation, the farther it is from perfection at the start. Man is the highest of God's creatures. He made us a little lower than the angels. He crowned us with glory and honor. He's put all things under our feet. He made us to have dominion over the things of the earth, the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, the beast of the field, whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. Man is God's ultimate and highest creation. Now, and yet, think about a man. Compare a man to a fly. At birth, a baby can see little, if anything. He can hear little, if anything. He knows little, if anything. He's helpless. It takes him several months to learn to crawl like a worm. It takes him a year or so to learn how to walk.
Now, compare that with a little lamb. A little lamb is born in the morning, and he's playing in the pasture by night. Nimbler than his mother. And it can feed itself almost immediately. It takes the child years to mature as much as the lamb matures in one day. How long is it before a child can feed himself? How long is it before a child can crawl, walk, much less run like a lamb does on the evening of his birth? Now, the first thing I'm saying is this. Man is farther from his maturity than any creature on earth. Now, my subject is joy's need of sorrow. How can God say to man, you'll have tribulation, be of good cheer? How can the Apostle Paul say, the joy that was set before Christ, he endured the cross? How could the Apostle say, rejoice in tribulation, rejoice in persecution, take pleasure in infirmity? How is it possible? Number one, man is farther from his maturity than any other creature on earth. Number two, the struggle that only man has to endure for maturity brings him pain. Now, hear me now. The struggle for this maturity brings him pain. Sorrow is the conflict of a man on his way to himself. He said again, sorrow is the conflict of a man on the way to becoming himself. It is the growing pain to maturity, sorrow is. Sorrow is the growing pain to maturity. A child, for example, is learning to walk. Now that child stumbles and falls, hits his head on the furniture, cries. What's he doing? Maturing. Now, wait a minute. A lamb doesn't do that. A fly doesn't do that. Puppet dog doesn't do that. A child doesn't. A lamb doesn't fall down, learning to walk, and get a knot on his head. A child does that. Now, why in the name of common sense did God make it so hard for us to develop and to mature? Because the struggle for maturity brings pain. The child learns not to put his hand on the stove. Now, how did the child learn not to put his hand on the stove? He put his stupid hand on the stove. Now, why? Because man, a child, is struggling to maturity. Are you listening? And that struggle from what he is to maturity brings pain. A fly doesn't know that. A little lamb doesn't know that. Nobody knows it quite like man does. All right? Statement number three. Are you listening? Statement number one. Man is farther from his maturity than any creature on earth. Number two. The struggle brings pain. Now, hear me carefully. Three. Success in this struggle brings joy. Did you hear me? Success in this struggle brings joy. Now, no struggle, no joy. No pain, no joy. Aren't you glad that God made us undeveloped? Aren't you glad your little child couldn't walk when he was born? Think how much more he'd have broken that 1 year. Aren't you glad you got to see him take his first step? Aren't you glad you got to hear him say, Dada and Mama? Aren't you glad that you got the joy? And look, a little child takes his first step. Now, you never saw a lamb do that. You never saw a fly say, I got the fly. No, the fly flies away right away. Or flies on me right away. But, you see, God is good to us. Because God has given us the capacity for joy. Like he's given none other of his creatures. So God made it possible for us to rejoice because joy comes through struggling to victory. Look at the Olympics. You never saw a bunch of laughing folks in your life or laughing at folks in your life than the folks that got those gold medals. Now, you saw them there standing with a national anthem being played with a medal, a gold medal around the neck, and the tears streaming down their cheeks, a big smile as they waved the crowd later on. You saw that, but you didn't see the struggle. You didn't see the pain. You didn't see them lifting weights and running and working. Why? Because struggle brings pain, and success in that struggle brings joy. That means if there's no success, there's no joy, and there's no success without struggle, and there's no struggle without need to achieve, and God has made us so, thank God, so we have a distance between where we are and where we maturity, and in that struggle from infancy or from birth to maturity, there is pain, and then victory in that struggle brings joy. And so I say, praise God for the pain. And praise God for the struggle that causes that pain. Success is this struggle. In this struggle brings joy. Now that means this. That means without the struggle there is no joy. Every time there's a struggle, two things happen. A lower feeling suffers, and a higher feeling rejoices. Are you listening? Every time there's a struggle, a lower feeling suffers, and a higher feeling rejoices. That means the pain of sorrow brings joy. That means the no sorrow, no joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And if you have not been privileged to sorrow, then you will not be privileged to have joy. And if you had no struggle in life, and no fight in life, and no, then you have no pain in life. And if you have no pain in life caused by your struggle to achieve, you'll have no joy in life. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, I struggle, I fight, I rejoice. We've got the strangest idea that Jesus gives you joy from your heartaches. Not true. Dope does. Dope causes you to look away from your sorrows for a while. But brother, when you sober up, they're still there. And liquor causes you to turn away for a while and forget your problems. But when you turn back, they're still there. And I've said 10,000 times, in my preaching through these years, I've said Jesus does not just give you joy from sorrow. He gives you joy in sorrow. This morning I go a step further, and I shock you. Listen, He gives you joy not just from sorrow. He gives you joy not just in sorrow. He gives you joy by sorrow. It will be worth it all. I love that song, but I can beat it. It now is worth it all. Why? I mean, listen, heaven is no escape from the toils of earth. And joy is no escape from reality. Joy is caused by the reality that man was born below other creatures, and God left man more struggle space. And because God left us more struggle space, look, it takes us a year to walk like the lamb walks, and probably 3 years to run like the lamb runs in the meadow. But look, think of all the fun we have as the child crawls the first time. Struggle. But don't you see that little child? Hey, Mommy, look what I can do. I can walk. What does he do? Takes one step and falls on his beak. Bloodies his nose. Skins his knee. Why? Because he's struggling. Now I want to tell you something, folks. Happiest folks in this room today are not those that have no sorrows. The happiest folks in this room today are those that have sorrows. Because sorrow is caused by man's struggle to maturity. And if there's no struggle, there's no pain. If there's no pain, there's no struggle. If there's no pain and struggle, there's no victory. Look, victory in Jesus. I'm crucified with Christ. Listen, you can't have victory unless you have a battle. And those of you that have not been privileged to have sorrow, you have no real joy because you never struggled to put to victory. I did not know the joy what's that gal's name? Mary Lou Retton. I didn't know the joy of it. That woman, that girl that Sally's got a crush on had. I didn't know that. I didn't do all those flip-de-flops and loop-de-loops and fall down. And I didn't stand up there on that bar and fall off and skin my leg and fracture an arm. I didn't do that. She did. And that's why when she won, she's running around and doing like that. So Sally tells me. Sally's sitting there eating more popcorn. Why? I'll tell you why. She had the joy because she had the struggle. Now I want to stand this morning and say, thank God that God made it so man was not as developed as higher creatures. Thank God for the little child's first step. And thank God for his first crawl. And thank God for his first run. And thank God he didn't get born and take off running around the house. Thank God for it. Why? Because God said, I love man. God loves the animals, and God loves the birds in the air, and God loves the fish in the sea. But God loves man in a way he loves no other creature. That's the object of his creation. Why? And what did God do? God said, I want man to be happy. If man is happy, he's got to win. If he wins, he's got to struggle. If he struggles, he's got to hurt.
By the way, just as sure as that's true in the physical realm of learning to walk and learning to run and learning to tumble, it's true in the spiritual realm. If you win the victories that God wants you to win in your own life and your own personality, your own character, you've got to hurt.
Because hurt is caused by struggle. And struggle is the attempt for man to achieve. And man's potential for achievement is greater than animal's potential for achievement because man is born lower on the maturity level than animals. And God is saying, I love you so much, I want you to be happy. I want you to learn to crawl, and you can smile. I want you to learn to walk, and you can smile. I want you to learn to run, and you can smile. But he said, I saved that for man. Why? I want man to be happy.
That means God gives us joy by pain. Animals know not that joy. Neither do they know the pain that brings that joy. God has been good to us to let us learn the joy of struggle to victory. God put man near the bottom so man could conquer. In order to conquer, man has to hurt. In order to hurt, by hurt comes victory. And by victory comes joy. And I'll guarantee you that the measure of joy that is in your heart today is in direct proportion to your victories. And your victories are in proportion to your struggles. And your struggles cause pain. No pain, no struggle, no pain, no pain, no victory, no victory, no joy. The secret of joy is the proper use of sorrow. Now you listen to me. You quit whining. You quit whining. You quit going from person to person seeking sympathy. You quit complaining. God's been good to you.
Or you say, I'll tell you what, I'm living under the clouds. Well, bless God, if you live in the clouds, you've got a struggle ahead of you. And brother, if you struggle, you can win. But you won't struggle unless you hurt. You got to hurt to struggle and struggle to hurt. And then you can win and then you can shout.
But if you don't learn to struggle and hurt, you won't learn to win. And you won't win, or you won't rejoice until you win. I thank God today for all the struggles of my life. I haven't had struggles like you've had, and I don't have anything to complain about at all. Because there are people this morning, all of this room, who've had 10,000 more struggles than I've ever known in my life. But I want to thank God today for the struggles. Because the struggles gave me a goal. And the goal gave me a chance to win. And the wind gave me a chance to rejoice. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. No sowing in tears, no reaping in joy. Biggest gripes in this room this morning are the people who have it best. I mean the biggest gripers, the folks who have it best. I'll guarantee you, the nicer the home, the more the griping. The nicer the clothes, the more the griping. The better the meal, the more the griping. I'm simply saying, and I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming you. If you don't know the struggle, you don't know the victory. But I'll guarantee you this. There are folks all in this room that lived a life of sorrow and tears and brokenness and pain and struggle. Oh boy, isn't it good when graduation day comes. And all the struggle of all those nights of toil and study while others are asleep. Isn't it worth it? And graduation day comes and you walk across the platform and you get that diploma while others washed out and went home, got a job so they could buy them a new car and live in luxury. And they washed out. They didn't have the courage to struggle. I'm saying sorrow. That leads me to my fourth statement. Statement number one. Man is born farther from his maturity than any creature on earth. Statement number two. The struggle to this maturity causes pain. Statement number three. Success is this struggle that brings joy. And number four, sorrow is necessary to joy. Number five, the unhappy man, him and now, the unhappy man is the one who complains about his sorrow. You don't do that. You just keep your eye on the gold medal day. You just keep your eye on standing there. I wonder how many of those Olympic champions, as they were out in the hot sun one day running 10 miles. I wonder how many of them stopped and thought about quitting. And then they pictured the Bema. They pictured the medal. In their mind, they saw themselves standing there with a gold medal around their neck. And they heard the band playing the Star Spangled Banner. And they heard the crowds cheering. And they saw victory, and they saw the smile on their faces, and they got up and ran some more and fell again and pictured again victory. But listen, something awful sad about people that have that struggle. Look, you have the struggle, you got the ingredients to victory and joy. But how tragic it is that folks that have the struggle, go through the struggle, go through the pain, but complain about the sorrow. Her name was Mary Decker. She struggled for 8 years and never got the medal. I don't feel sorry this morning for those of you that have struggles and pains and burdens, though I carry your burden with you. And I cry with you and cry for you. But I don't feel as sorry for you as I feel for those that do not know the joy of struggle, who will never know the joy of victory, who will never know the thrill and excitement of having hurt so much for your life and cried so much for yourself. And sorrow so much for your praise. It's that struggle. It's that struggle. Somebody said to a fellow one time, why did you climb Mount Everest? He said, because it was there. It was there. This morning, I say to you, thank God for the struggle. And thank God for the pain. Physical, mental, emotional. Thank God for it. The pain is caused by struggle.
Struggle is caused by achievement. Achievement causes victory. Victory causes joy, which means no pain, no joy, no pain, no rejoicing, no pain, no shouting.
Well, praise God, I wasn't born a fly. Well, praise God, I wasn't born a lamb. Well, praise God, I was born a human being. 11 pounds of cutest kid you ever saw in your life. 11 pounds.
The unhappy man is the one who does not struggle to climb the wind. He'd rather stay at the bottom and not hurt than go to the top and hurt. He'd rather lie on beds of ivory and beds of ease and have no pain than to struggle, fight, climb, and hurt
and have joy. Not sure I ever saw a happier Christian than Mrs. Bartell. Not sure I ever saw a lady struggle like she. Oh, my class this morning. My mama was in a coma. She came out of it just a little bit, but she couldn't talk and be understood. My sister, when she was like that, hardly knew anything. My sister hardly knew anything. But she never has. Mother did. But my sister was reading Mother's favorite psalm to her, Psalm 103. Mom was laying there, no expression at all. My sister read, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His." And Earlene stopped. And she said, "Jack, I just stopped and said it again, forget not all His." She said, Mama's little eyes opened, and Mama said, "Benefits. Benefits." You can walk out there this morning to that little room. You can walk in, now listen carefully, and she'll probably be groaning and talking, and she may even cry a little bit. You won't understand what she's saying, but I know what she's talking about. I understood enough to know. My sister said it. Mama is sitting again at the graveside of Lorraine. And she's burying her child. She's back 75 years ago, 70 years ago. Her child is dying again in her mind. And then she sits at the graveside of Hazel, who died when she was 7, as did Lorraine. And she's suffering. But I can walk up beside that little bed, and she can be groaning, burying her baby, again. I can say, Mama, how do you feel? I don't care when you ask her that. There's one word she always answers with. Better. 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 That's what she always says. Why? Because God privileged her to know struggle. And in that struggle, there came pain. And by that struggle and that pain, there came victory. And through that victory, there's joy. And that's why the Savior said, the joy that was set before Him, enduring the cross. Thank God I'm a human being. And thank God He made me poor. I mean that. I thank God I was born poor. It gave me more to struggle for. When I used to struggle mowing a yard for 8 hours in a day for a quarter, and take that quarter and go down and buy me a cheeseburger. No kid in the neighborhood enjoyed his cheeseburger like I enjoyed mine.
Why? I struggle to get it.
Thank God I weighed 92 pounds on my 17th birthday. I mean this when I say this. I'm not by nature
gifted. I'm no orator. I'm no great genius. I'm no intellectual. I've just been a plower. I've just grabbed on the side of the mountain and dug a hole and pulled up a little bit. And hurt! Struggle! Hurt! But through the struggle came the pain. And by the struggle came the victory. And through the victory, I get criticized for cutting up too much. Because that's the way I learned to rejoice in persecution. Rejoice in tribulation. This morning, if you're poor, shout. Bless God, you got more chance to struggle. You got more chance to hurt. You got more chance to win. You got more chance to rejoice. Things don't come easy for you. Thank God for it. You weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth. Praise God for it. You can't shout with a spoon in your mouth anyhow. Thank you, Father.